Evening, folks. Hi. You guys are pretty energetic tonight. Maybe I should talk about something else then, huh? Well, I tell you, I really lucked out with my messages at The Rock. The first one I did here a few weeks ago, I had 3 hours notice, and tonight we talk about the birds and the bees. Sometimes when two people fall in love and get married. I'm going to give a couple little pre-dro quos here before I start. The first is, I think I'm getting sick. So if I yak tonight during the message, just keep going through it with me. The second is, I realize this is an edgy topic, and I want you guys to know that my heart is pure, and I'm in no way, with what I share tonight, trying to be salacious or cheeky or titillating or anything like that. I'm trying to approach this as honestly as I can, and I encourage you guys. We've done a lot of messages here at The Rock on sex. We did one years ago. It was like 6 weeks long. Very, very good. So I'd encourage you to go to rockthechurch.com. And download those. I think they'd be a nice compliment to this message tonight. I did call my dad, and I was like, really? Sex? That's my week. So I understood why a few weeks ago I spoke at a Bible study called Rampage and did a similar message to tonight. And so tonight we're talking about don't get punked by relationships and sex. And before I dive into all of this juicy stuff, why don't we pray? Because I need help. God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this place, for this church. I thank you, God, that you're honest. And I thank you that your word literally, God, is a guide for every facet of our life. You left no stone unturned, no mystery to us, God, that we did not need to know to succeed in this life. And I just pray, God, you'd open our eyes to something new tonight about you and the importance of having a healthy view on sex and the opposite sex. I just pray you teach us something new about yourself tonight. Amen. Let me get my notes. I wanted to start with a question tonight, and then we'll move on. This is a little analogy. If you were going on a flight, you're going to Hawaii. That's a good place. You're going to Hawaii, you go to the airport, you walk up to the counter, you buy your ticket. I know, most of you buy it online, but just play along. You buy your ticket and the flight attendant prints it out and hands it to you. Have a nice flight. Oh, by the way, the plane that you're on has been having some problems lately, and there's a 50-50 chance you'll make it to Hawaii alive. Thank you for flying Northwest Airlines. How many of you would get on that plane? Yeah, that's what I thought. I wouldn't get on that plane either. In fact, I would be like, I want my money back. Those are roughly the same statistics of your marriage succeeding in today's society. Those are not good odds. I would come back and say, tell you what, I'll keep the ticket. You just let me know when there's a 100% chance, and I'll come back and I'll go to Hawaii. We're taking a very huge gamble with relationships, and we have a very skewed view of what love is and what sex is and what romance is. And we've gotten so far away from what God intended it to be. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, how to have a healthy relationship, how to have a healthy view of sex, and how not to get punked by the world. So first, I just wanted to start by kind of telling you my story. My wife and I just celebrated our six-year anniversary about 2.5 weeks ago, September 1st, 2002, we got married. And it was the greatest day of my life for a lot of reasons. But I want to go back. We met, my wife Gretchen and I met probably about 3 months after The Rock started. The Rock started January 1999. We met in approximately February, March. I'm a little fuzzy with dates, and I'm not even old enough to be fuzzy with dates yet. I had never been in a relationship. I never had a girlfriend. Not because I didn't want one or was a total loser or anything like that. I just didn't really honestly see any point in dating at 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I knew it wouldn't go anywhere. I didn't want someone to break my heart, and I certainly didn't want to be responsible for breaking someone's heart. And let's just be honest, the only reason we really date at that age anyway is for insecurity, is to feel loved, is because we like the attention. It's not really very serious. So when Gretchen and I met, very, very quickly, I became pretty consumed by her, by being around her. Oddly enough, we were not the ones that initiated the conversation, the talk. My dad did that for us. At the very first rock retreat in August of 99, we were sitting in his room just chatting, and he sits up in his bed, and he's like, "I just got to face the facts. You guys like each other, don't you?" We kind of froze, and I was like, yeah. And we looked at each other, and thus we started our journey into courting. And I say courting, and I know that sounds like a very old-fashioned term, and I admit I'm very old-fashioned. I think the old ways are much better than the new ways. But I say courting because I knew very quickly that I wanted to marry Gretchen, and she signed on to my way of life. And I'll explain what I mean by that a little later on tonight. Things were not easy for us after that. Her parents were very opposed. A lot of you probably heard the story. Her parents were very opposed to me, to Gretchen's new life in Christ. And it ruined a lot of the dreams that they had for her. They were hoping she would move to New York and marry a model, and I was none of those things. But we were patient, and we wanted to go about it the right way. We wanted to go about it God's way. And our approach was, if the Bible says it, then we do it. It's just a lot easier that way. I'm very black and white. I don't like to sit in the gray. A lot of danger happens in the gray, and gray is a lot closer to black than it is to white. And so we were very patient through it. We prayed. But the very, very, very important thing, one of the most important decisions that Gretchen and I made, was that we weren't going to have sex until we got married, sex of any kind. And I know Bill Clinton made the famous debate open now to the public. I believe sex is sex, and I'm not going to get into the physiological descriptions tonight, but any kind of sex where an orgasm is involved between two people, that's what I considered sex. And Gretchen and I decided we were not going to do that. Now, that was not easy. But I made my life, Gretchen made her life, we made our relationship an open book to my father. One, because he was our pastor. Two, because he was my father. Three, he was one of my best friends. Four, I wanted help and I wanted accountability for my life. I did not want to be doing things in secret, hiding things, trying to do things my own way. And I didn't just keep my virginity because the Bible said so. And I know a lot of people like to rip on Christians today. That's the new fad. That's the new thing. As being sticks in the mud and prudes. That was not the only reason. The other reason became much more evident to me when Gretchen and I began dating was I simply couldn't think of any better way to show her I was committed to her and I loved her than to withhold that which was most pressing and important to us until I'd put a ring on her finger and promised I'd never leave her in front of 400 some odd witnesses. And I told a lot of people that. We were reaching out to some friends. I remember one day at work, this guy was like, "Oh God, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. My girlfriend and I told each other that if we ever got burned in a fire or like in a car accident and couldn't have sex, we'd break up." And there was a girl standing, and I had just finished giving him that whole spiel of why I was waiting, and and how that showed my commitment to Gretchen. And this girl was listening, and she looked at him, and she looked at me, and she's like, that's disgusting. to him, not to me. she loved it. She thought it was beautiful, and it opened up a pretty cool conversation. My dad gave us a curfew. The phone curfew was 10 o'clock. If I was not within range of being home by 10 o'clock, he would start calling my phone. If I didn't answer, he would keep calling until I answered. My dad's motto was, nothing good happens after 10 o'clock. and he proved right many a time. Some people I know waited even to kiss until they got married. I was not that strong. And I won't embarrass my wife tonight as best I can. Already then, maybe she already is. But he would ask me very tough questions, very pointed questions of, had I done anything that night, and specific things. We had very many awkward conversations. My dad, bless his heart, sometimes I thought he was just going to keel over and die from the strict. Because it wasn't just me. My older sister, about a year into our relationship, started her relationship with her now husband. And so my dad was battling back and forth. Sometimes I didn't understand his fear. But I loved him and I respected him and appreciated his passion for my purity. Purity may not matter to you, but it matters to God. I want to read a verse. 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Purity matters to God. What do I mean by purity? I mean, no sex before marriage of any kind. That flies in the face of all of the wonderful sex education we get from our public schools and all of the wonderful sex education we get from Hollywood. Wait, I'm not going to get to that yet. I want to read a verse, another verse from Thessalonians. 4 verse 1 through 5. There's a little title here. It says, live to please God. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more, for you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God's will is for you to be holy. God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Paul's writing at the time of when Rome was kind of at its peak. And I think we probably live in no greater a time obsessed with sex than maybe Rome. Now in Rome. Rome, the religion was sex. Part of your duty to the Roman gods was to go to the temple down the street and sleep with the prostitutes. We're not quite there yet. Maybe we are. With the advent of pornography, you can get pretty much anything you want in front of your face in about 2 minutes. I believe for my generation, for our generation, there's probably maybe only one or two things more important than our understanding of sex, how it relates to our lives, and God's view of sex, especially today. We are living in a culture completely, compulsively obsessed with sex. Everywhere you go, everywhere you turn, it's there in your face. And no place has had a more devastating effect on sex and our views of sex than Hollywood. So what I want to talk about for a little bit now is I want to sort of compare and contrast Hollywood's ways or the world's ways and what they believe sex should look like and God's way and the right way. Sex is like chicken. Let me ask you, how many of you tonight would, on a regular basis, eat raw chicken? Nobody. Well, that's good. A couple reasons. You'll probably die. If you don't get to a hospital in time, you'll get very sick. Here's the interesting thing about chicken, though. If you eat it raw, you can still get some of the nutrients. Cooking it is not what inherently gives it the nutrients, although I'm not a biology major. So, Carl, you can correct me later if that's not the case. You can still get some protein. You could even spice it up. But it's still raw. And if you don't eat chicken the way God intended for you to eat chicken, something bad is going to happen to you. Sex is the same way. Now, lest you think God to be a prude, he also provided many spices for that. Some scented cake. Ooh. Some essential oils. Maybe a little Luther Vandross. Oh, but God made sex. God made sex. And we're going to read from the Song of Songs tonight. I'm going to blow your mind. God made sex, not Hugh Hefner. Boy, I wish that guy would disappear. God made sex, not Pamela Anderson. And bless her heart, I bet she'd give anything to get rid of hepatitis C that's coursing through her veins. God made sex, not Brangelina. God made sex. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I always find it funny watching. We're so desensitized to movies now and to what they say. And I remember distinctly finally realizing this. Do you remember the second Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise? It's a terrible movie. But there's this scene in the beginning of the movie where he and the love interest are chasing each other in this car, cars, right, up on this big ridge. And there's this slow motion scene where their cars are spinning out of control and their eyes lock. And her car goes off the ledge and he saves her life. And then snap to the next scene, he's waking up in the morning and they're making out in bed. Funny thing about movies is they always either make one night stands seem like kind of funny and cute, or like perfect and everything was smelling right. And it was like this perfect dance they'd been practicing for years, and they just happened to fall in bed. I have a friend. She's a couple years younger than my wife. She was a virgin all of her life. A few weeks ago, she went out with some friends, and she had a little too much to drink. And she gave it up to a guy she met that night in the back of his car. And lest you think that sounds really exciting and risque, I hate to be crude here. It was her first time, and he didn't use any protection. And she had quite a mess to clean up when she got home that night. And it was nothing like she thought it would be, nothing like she wanted it to be. And now she's got scars and she's got baggage. That is the reality of one-night stands and of illicit sex in the city sex. That's what they'll never show you. Do you know? The STD rate in New York City is 4 times higher than the national average. 1 in 4 New Yorkers have an STD. 1 in 4. That's real sex in the city. course, they never show you that. We can just sleep around and wear cute clothes and laugh and drink our martinis and sleep around some more. And, oh, it's so great. We never get pregnant and we never get a venereal disease. And we're just so happy and confident. Why? Why are they wrong? Fear. Where you cannot have great sex where there is fear. In a committed relationship, that kind of love can only be found in a committed relationship centered around Christ, where there is no fear that, is he going to leave me? Is she going to leave me? Am I doing it right? People think, you know, these relationships and sex, it's fun, you know, it's mysterious. But you don't know what the person's going to do, what they're going to smell like, what they might say. Most of the time, maybe you're really drunk. Read you some verses from Song of Songs. I bet you didn't know this was in the Bible. There was a little book right about smack dab in the middle called Song of Songs. I was praying this earlier. There is nothing God hid from us in the Bible. Not even sex. And I'm going to read some of these throughout the rest of the talk. This is chapter 1, the wedding day. This is a young woman speaking. Song of Songs plays out like a drama, like a movie. And there are three characters. There's the woman, the bride, there's the young man, the groom, and young women, the young woman's friends. And this is the young woman. Kiss me and kiss me again, for your love is sweeter than wine. How fragrant your cologne, your name is like it's spreading fragrance. No wonder all the young women love you. Take me with you. Come, let's run. The king has brought me into his bedroom. This is the young man. If you don't know, O most beautiful woman, follow the trail of my flock and graze your young goats by the shepherd's tent. You are as exciting, my darling, as a mare among Pharaoh's stallions. How lovely are your cheeks. Your earrings set them afire. How lovely is your neck, enhanced by a string of pearls. We will make for you earrings of gold and beads of silver. The king is lying on his couch, enchanted by the fragrance of my perfume. This is the young woman now. My lover is like a sachet of myrrh lying between my breasts. You are so handsome, my love, pleasing beyond words. The soft grass is our bed. There's only one. I've read the Bible. I've been reading the Bible since I was about 6 or 7. And when I read the Bible, there's really only one thing God calls off limits in the bedroom, and that's sodomy. God made sex for a husband and a wife to enjoy. And it's a vital, vital part of your relationship. I'll go back to some of these verses in a little bit. So how do we survive as dating couples? Let's go back to some of you here tonight as dating couples. How do you survive? How do you make it from tonight? From tonight to, Lord willing, the day that you marry. Committed, devoted accountability from friends and devotion to the church. And the payoff is little to no baggage for you or for your spouse, especially as we move further and further away from our past. And I want to make something very clear before I move on. God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness is supreme. It fixes that which is broken. It cleans that which was dirty. It purifies that which was impure. And God is in the business of giving people back their virginity. And I want you to understand that before I go on tonight. But baggage is evident and it's there, and we're going to talk a little more about that as we go along. You have to have friends in your life, family, someone that you talk to, that you go to, that is holding your feet to the fire. I asked earlier, does purity matter to you? Does it really matter? Because look, if it doesn't matter to you all that much, then, you know, the next 20 minutes of this message are going to go in one ear and out the other. Unless it really matters to you. Because I don't think you understand what you're doing as dating couples. When you sleep together, when you have sex of any kind, you might as well be taking a knife across their back. You're damaging them, and you're leaving scars, and you're ruining trust. And it will come back to haunt you when one of the other persons loses too much trust to get back. Because if you don't respect God in that area, in purity now, in clean living now, why would you respect Him in marriage? Why is it okay? Without complete devotion to purity, and among everything, complete devotion to Christ, you will make it. When Gretchen and I were dating, I was involved in Rock TV. I was leading, helping to lead music, and we led a small group together. I was Mark Darling's son, which to me was a big deal. I felt that was very important, that I honored my father's name. And for us to go down that road of immorality, sexual immorality, we have a standard here at the Rock. If you're involved in ministry and you fall in either an immoral relationship or with drugs or with alcohol, or there's clearly some severe addiction in your life, we'll ask you to step out of ministry. And I would have had to tell everybody I was involved with, why aren't you playing on the stage anymore? Hey, why don't we see in Rock TVs anymore? And everything my dad had ever taught and ever said would have been tarnished. I did not want that to happen. You need to have some semblance of responsibility. Because the consequences, if you don't have some responsibility in your life, the consequences seem so small. It's not really that bad. It was just a couple of times. I could line up couple after couple up here that would tell you that's not the case. That's not the case. You might as well be slapping the person across the face because you're not doing them any good. And you're only doing it to pacify physical desire, not because you're trying to love them and honor them under God as a child of God. So let me make a couple predictions for you, okay? Let's say tonight you're like, I disagree. That's fine. Well, let me just make a couple predictions. There really are only three outcomes for a marriage that is not given to Christ, that isn't lived by the book. You'll either end up in a loveless marriage for the rest of your life. Either you or your spouse will find love in someone else and have an affair, or you'll just decide it's not worth it, I don't love this person anymore, and you'll get a divorce. That's the bottom line. And I've seen it specifically the past 5 years. This area has touched my life in a very, 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 very personal way, as I've watched many friends, very close friends, people I respected, have affairs, leave their spouse, fall out of love. I watched it nearly kill my father-in-law when he and my mother-in-law separated. By God's grace, if you were here a few weeks ago when I spoke, they both turned their lives back to Christ and got married last December, but it was hell. I want to speak to the couples again for a minute tonight. You have to guard this area, sex. You have to guard sex in your marriage with absolute, utter diligence and vigilance. You cannot take it lightly. Let me ask you something. If your spouse decided one day to stop talking to you for a month, what would that do to your relationship? Now, they still look at you. They'd still reach out and touch you and be affectionate. They'd still smile. But they just wouldn't talk. Do you think you can effectively run your marriage for a month? Or what if they decided they would talk to you, but wearing completely noise-deafening earplugs for a month? And just not listen to anything that you had to say. We put so many other things up high. Oh, communication is so important, and it is important. Oh, date nights is important, and they are important. Oftentimes we just let sex slip right through the cracks, and you have to be vigilant. As much as God allows you. Now, this is what some of you singles and some of you dating couples here need to understand. Every marriage is different. Every path to marriage is different. Every person's circumstance is different. People get sick. Horrible things happen. When Gretchen's folks were going through this divorce, her dad had two heart attacks. Her mom was very sick. My little sister was very sick. And I woke up one morning convinced that any day one of them was going to die. Let me tell you, it's very hard to get in a romantic mood when you're worried every 5 minutes that you're going to get a phone call. Stuff happens. That's why commitment to Christ is so important, because you're able for that time to sacrifice any needs you have, any emotional or physical needs, for the sake of the one that you love. But if you do not watch over this area and protect it, husbands, if you do not protect it from yourself, and if you do not protect your wife from it, and wives, if you do not protect your husbands from it, bad things will happen. That's probably meant for another message. I could talk about that for hours. I just want to make that very clear, how important it is to a healthy relationship. That's your daily in the Word. That you pray with your spouse. That you go on dates. That you have sex. That you communicate. That you're loyal. That there's trust. Those are things that are all every bit as important as the next one. Talk to you singles and even maybe some of you dating couples for a minute. Do yourself a favor and do your future spouse a favor, and don't wait for marriage to fix your problems. Do yourself a favor, do your future spouse a favor. It will not fix your problems. Get them fixed now. Do not bring your problems, your issues, in a marriage. You will regret it. Marriage will not fix you. Marriage will not fix you. It definitely forced me to change some things about my life that I didn't really know I needed to change. But if you think, oh, it's not really a big deal that I look at pornography every day, you know, I'm sure when I get married it won't be a problem. Oh, it's not a really big deal that I don't really like sex, and when I think about it, it kind of grosses me out. I'm sure when I get married it won't be a problem. Get rid of any perversion and aversion to sex before you're married. I want to go to a verse that might not seem related, but I think it is. It's in Acts 10, verse 9. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared an impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision was repeated three times, and then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. God wants you to have great sex. He wants that to be an active part of your married life. Do not call something unclean that God has made clean and called clean. I'll talk to you men for a moment, okay? My generation, our generation, is very deft at producing cowards. We are not putting out the kind of men, the greatest generation, as they call it, the World War II generation there. They're all slowly dying. Bart and I, the guy that was up here singing tonight, he and I have been playing concerts for the old vets at the VA Medical Center. It's a pretty cool experience, these old guys. Most of them can't walk. Still married to the same woman. And faithful all those years. Aren't a lot of men like that anymore. So be men. Or better said, just grow up. We have enough man boys in this society that can't hold a job. I think if they wear their hat cocked and their baggy pants and they walk like this and they stand like this, that makes them tough and that makes them attractive. You have got to be kidding me. Men are getting more and more brain dead every day to think that makes you a man. Now, I understand more men are leaving their families. They're cowards. Walk away from their family. What's a boy to do without a dad? To show them how to be a man. So do yourself a favor and do your future wife a favor if you want to get married. Maybe you want to be single for the rest of your life. That's fine. God has called some people to that. More power to you. If you want to get married, get a good career. You know how many guys I know in their 30s can barely hold a job, can barely take care of themselves, and they're mad at God that God hasn't given them a woman yet. Let me ask you something. Why should God give you a woman to take care of, his daughter, if you can't even take care of yourself and the simple things in life? Why? Why would he do that? If you know what it takes financially to take care of yourself, multiply that by two, and that's about what you need to take care of yourself and a wife. Multiply that times about 1.5, 2.5. That's about what you need to take care of a wife and a child. So grow up. It's time for men to grow up and quit idling their time by with their hobbies. Hobbies are fine. Sports are fine. I've got hobbies. I love sports. You want to take care of a family. You want to honor God. Get a good career. Work hard. It's going to take hard work for a long time. I spent the last 2.5 years working approximately 50 to 60 hours a week. I'm fortunate. I get to work from home. I get to see my wife all day. It's pretty awesome. Sometimes the grass is greener on the other side, though, when I'm not getting paid. I didn't do everything right. I'm not a perfect husband. I pray all the time, God, make me a better man. And I'm very fortunate I had a good father in my life influencing me in that way. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to do comic strips. I would go to the library, and I would get every Garfield book they had, every Charlie Brown book. I would get Family Circus. I even got Calvin and Hobbes. I really loved the artistry in Calvin and Hobbes. My dad would read a few of those, and he wouldn't let me get those books after a while. Calvin and Hobbes, at least. They were pretty bad. I love my dad. One day he told me, son, no one's ever going to pay you to draw pictures. Now, as a dad, you can say that as long as it's followed by a lot of love and affirmation and pride. And my dad was very proud of me. I knew that. And I knew what he meant. So we sat down together as I was kind of heading out of college. I graduated in 98 with my 2-year degree. I hated school. I worked hard, but I did not like school. And we looked at the career, the fields that were out, and what's paying well, and how could I combine my love for art with something that paid well. So we landed in web design. And wouldn't you know, that industry boomed and still doing pretty well. I'm lucky. I'm very lucky. You've got to sit down and look at your life and understand that you do not want to be where my dad was. When my mom and dad got married, they made under $5,000 a year for the first 2 or 3 years we were born. None of the kids had health insurance. We made it through. There was love, and it was a trial, and God used it. I think back fondly on those days, except when I think about how hard it must have been for my folks. And we made it, and by God's grace, he used it in their lives. I know he did, and he'll use any circumstance in your life. That's not the point. God shouldn't have to keep pulling you back okay, well, now I'll work with this. All right, now I'll work with this. Not that God's like that. God gave you a brain. God gave you hands and feet. Work hard. Women, picked on the guys long enough. Not really. I could pick on guys all night long. A couple of things. If you want to be a mom someday, some of you want to be moms. Have kids. That's great. I won't get into the whole roles conversation tonight because I probably already got myself in enough hot water for the evening. I'll say that for my dad. By the way, if you have any problems with what I say tonight, you can email mark@rocketchurch.com. I'm just reading the notes he sent me. I don't agree with a lot of this stuff. I'm teasing. But seriously, you can email mark@rocketchurch.com. And it's Mark with a K. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get in so much trouble. Women, if you want to be a mom someday, that is a great aspiration. Let me just say that right now. Do your husband a favor and don't bring a bucket of debt into your marriage and dump it on his lap. Not like that's what you're thinking or what you're trying to do, but that's in essence what happens. My dad inherited my mom's $8,000 worth of debt. That wasn't too bad for the time, but for what he made, that's like 2 years' salary. And he was diligent and he paid it off. If you want to be a mom someday, don't bring a bucket of debt into your marriage. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you to drop out of school if you're in school and that's what you want to do. I think it's very important for both men and women to find a good career they can settle into. It's a little different for women. If you want to be at home and stay with your kids, find something to let you do that without having to go into a ton of debt. This is my last... Oh, crap. I forgot a really good verse I want to read. You guys, I told you I wasn't picking on you. Men. 1 Timothy 5:2. Treat older women as you would your mother and treat younger women with all purity. Oh, there's that word again. Oh, my gosh. It just keeps popping up. Treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. If you didn't have a sister growing up, I'm sure you still know what I mean. But why do you think it says treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters? It means don't treat them as sexual objects. You need to get rid of that habit now. You need to get rid of that habit in your life. This is my last point, and then you guys can throw tomatoes. Know the person. You singles and young couples out here, know the person. Young people, we're pretty foolish, and we can only see about 5 years down the road. We can project about 5 years. That's kind of mathematically what I've come up to. You carry the five, and the pi is greater than, you get 5 years. Young couples, when they're in love and they're thinking about marriage, they see the wedding. They see the wedding night. They probably see maybe one or two kids. So I'll give you five. I'll be really generous. I'll give you 5 years. After that, everything is black, as if life ends. The world just stops. And those 5 years take 100 years. And, oh, we're just having sex every day. And so let me ask you, how many of you, housing market's in kind of a wreck right now, so let's pretend that it's not. Otherwise, my analogy is totally ruined. How many of you would buy a house from a picture? Just a picture. You're out looking for a house. I really want to buy a house. I've got money for a down payment. Maybe you're looking online or looking through the classifieds. That looks like a good house. I'm going to buy it. Some of you here might do that. Don't do that. It'd be really, 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 really stupid. If you're going to buy a house, you got to tour the house. You got to find out its history. Previous owners, did they smoke? Did they have dogs or cats or animals? Was someone murdered in this house? You got to have it inspected, right? You pay a realtor to walk you through and tell you all the great amenities that the house has. How many bathrooms does it have? Are the bathrooms big enough? Is it 2.5? What is that half one all about? Yet we're so flippant when it comes to the opposite sex and who we date. Our standards suddenly become, oh, they're really nice. They have a great personality. They really love God. Oh, she just loves Jesus. He just loves God. Well, I would hope that's like the first criteria. Otherwise, we need to have a different conversation afterwards. You got to know somebody. You got to know somebody. What they're like around their family is what they'll be like in marriage. What they're like here at church, hopefully they're not coming bringing all their problems and their baggage. But in general, we're kind of all on our best behavior. We try and look nice. We try and smell nice. Guys, if you're not trying to smell nice, do all of us a favor and really put the effort in. Don't bring that into your marriage. God, I wish I could talk about that forever. So many things we do that are just unbelievable. Focus. Okay. You got to know somebody. You got to know. I said this earlier, and I want to explain what I mean. Gretchen signed on for my way of life. Okay, I stand by what I believe in. I told her, look, I'm never going to leave The Rock. The Rock is part of a worldwide movement of churches called GCC. I'm never going to leave that movement. Should God have us go plant a church somewhere? I'm going to work hard for you to provide, to go on vacations. God may take all our money away one day. We may live in a cave. Those kind of things. I had to know you're not going to crack a couple years from now. How many kids do you want to have? Yeah. Blows my mind. People got rocks for brains. They'll get married and suddenly they'll find out, what? My husband doesn't want to have kids? You don't want to have kids? That's happened. I know that. I know people that's happened to. What? You want to move to Zimbabwe? What? You gotta talk about these things. You gotta know these things. You gotta know this person. 60 years, if you're lucky, is what you'll get. 50, 60 years, if you're lucky. With the same person, and you're just going to kind of fly by the seat of your pants? Oh, I want to tell you some stories tonight, folks. We don't have any time. People, against all their better judgment and all their advice, ran off with somebody. A couple friends I know nearly lost their lives because of it. This is so serious. Hollywood thinks they've cornered the market on relationships. You've got to be kidding me. We read about divorces every other day. Who's cheated on who and who's sleeping on who. And these stupid reality shows. Oh my gosh, I wish MTV would go away. When my kids grow up, I'm going to, part of our homeschool, because we're going to homeschool our kids. That's another thing my wife had to sign off on. I'm going to teach them how crappy Hollywood is and MTV. That's going to be a class. And the only time they'll be allowed to say the word sucks is when they're in that class, because that's the name of the class. Hollywood sucks. We'll mess you up. Are we really going to take our social, sexual, philosophical, ecological advice from Lindsay Lohan? I'm just so tired. Every single day, they bash us over the head with this is what sex is supposed to be like. You have got to deprogram yourself if you bought into that lifestyle. Look, it's fine to pick up a People magazine every once and again if you like the cute dress that Cameron Diaz is wearing. Okay, I get that side of girls. But if you are buying into that lifestyle, to that way of life, you are in for a rude awakening. A rude awakening. Don't get charmed. Don't get pumped. People can be so charming. They can be so debonair, so dashing. They can say all the right words, all the right things, men and women. Girls can be so cute. and soft and so sweet. You get married and they're a totally different person. Men are the best at this. I heard my grandfather do this for years. He'd charm them, he'd spend their money, move on somewhere else. I told a girl that once. She said, "Wow, isn't it weird that like some of that DNA is like inside of you?" No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm never leaving my wife. Never leaving my wife. I'm going to tell my kids that when they're old enough to understand what that means. Never going to leave your mom. Don't get punked. Don't let Hollywood tell you what to think about sex, about relationships. It is so bass-ackwards. One day God's going to come. One day God's going to come back. He's going to take everything that was crooked and he's going to make it straight, whether you like it or not. And all these lies that are pervade, everyone's going to see once and for all God and all of his awesome, terrifying glory. And don't buy into the lies. Let's pray. God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for being such a generous, creative God. Thank you, Lord, that the rules you gave us were not to bind us, but to give us freedom. But to give us freedom, we thank you, God, for marriage. The most sacred of things on this planet, God, is marriage. It's meant to reflect your love for your bride, the church, us. God, we want to take that seriously. I wish I could stand up here all night and tell stories and talk about this. I feel so bad at this, God, so unable to communicate how important it is that we understand your view and what the Bible says, what Song of Songs says. On and on and on and on it goes, God. We just praise you, Lord, for making us the way that you did. God, I just pray we devote our relationships to you. We devote our future to you, that we wouldn't compromise, that we wouldn't become bitter waiting for you to come through, God. Bitterness leads to compromise, and we don't want to do that. We want to honor you, God, and we want to bring our best possible self to our future spouse. Amen. Thank you guys so much for listening to me blabber on and on tonight. If you have any questions, I will be out in the door for like 5 minutes, and if nobody does, I'm going to run away. But I really appreciate you guys listening to me tonight. Have a wonderful weekend.